So our gospel text, or our scripture reading for today, which is not a gospel, it's an epistle reading, will be taken from Hebrews. And we're going to go from chapter 2, and we're going to go verses 14 through 18. 14 through 18, and you can remain seated for this epistle teaching. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to a lifelong slavery. For surely it was not the angels that he helped, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to make like his brothers in every aspect, that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us, and in the flesh we know nothing. But yet we ask by your Spirit that you would give us strength, that you would give us peace, and you would allow us to see your truth, that you would sanctify us in that truth. We ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. I did make an eye doctor appointment through my great lady over there, and good thing, because when I put this Bible up here, I could hardly read it. So I must be getting older again. Paul is writing to Hebrews. And this is really those Christian believers of the Judaism faith. In other words, those that were Jews that now come to faith. And we believe it's Paul. There's not really an author that's laid out for Hebrews, but most of the church fathers believe it by the style of writing and how it is. And that really doesn't matter. The point is, this is an inspired word of God. And he's trying to encourage them and give them the understanding of how blessed we are. Because really, that's what it comes down to. That we are so blessed to be the children of God. That it's not of works, because a man would boast, but rather it is a true gift. That whatever we are going through, whatever we are dealing with in our life, that we have a God that understands us. And that's where this text leaves off. That yes, you may be tested, you may be tempted in your life, but you don't have a God that doesn't understand that. You have a God that does understand, because he also was tested and tempted, but yet did not fail. See, we live in something what we call an imputed righteousness. Something that we did not do anything for. That God makes us right through Jesus Christ. And that's really what righteousness talks about. Being made right before God. And so Paul is trying to encourage them that there is a lot going on, but understand who you are. I wish that at times I could remember this, because there are times that I do forget. I become consumed by the world that I see around me. I become consumed by the world, I want to say, that I invite in. And you say, well, how do you mean invite in? Well, we have individuals in our world, right, in our lives, our family, that sit in front of that little square box on the wall and listen to the news all day long. And this news can become so repetitive. And then it gets so repetitive that they need to put a little different spin on it, a little different angle on it to make it even more enticing. And we find ourselves being drawn in and in and in. And then we can miss the tragedy that's before us when we see a plane crash. When we see, just in the last few days, 4 days, that there were 73 lives gone between the two crashes. We could start seeing it spun, and I'm just using this as an example, where it becomes a political thing. And we can lose the understanding of our love one for another. That lives were shattered, lives were changed. And what I'm saying in this is that we can become so consumed by inviting this into our homes that we can lose our peace, and we can think that everything in this world is me against them or them against me. How about in Christ we are one for another? That we come together and understand that we are all part of one body. And in this body, we all have many different gifts, different abilities, many strengths, many weaknesses. Kind of a side rabbit trail, but I always struggled with people that struggle, and I used to do this, with communion. Because communion, they would say, well, you know, I have to be, there was kind of a mentality once in our congregations where you had to be clean of everything before you could come up here. And I've actually encountered people when I talk with them and say, I never see you come to communion. And they're like, well, I'm not worthy. Left to our own devices, none of us are worthy. None of us. But Luther speaks very strongly, not that we idolize Luther, but we are Lutherans. Luther says, communion is the community of Christ. And the community of Christ, they come together in the good and in the bad, because we are here for one another. And so then we come even when we struggle. We come when we're victorious. We come when we're burdened. We come when we're free. We come and present ourselves to the Lord and partake of Him. And so this is kind of the example that we have that, you know, there is difficulty, there is good. There are people that are easier to deal with, and there are people like me that are more difficult to deal with. There's no doubt about it. But we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And this goes beyond these walls. I believe very strongly that with those 73 people that lost their lives, I believe strongly that there was Christians involved. Doesn't matter what church they go to. Oh, a bad thing to say, right? Because oftentimes that's where we divide. Now there is doctrine truth, no doubt about it. But we are all saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, because any man would boast. It is a gift. And so Paul really opens up Hebrews by telling you about the supremacy of God's Son. How He came to give you everything. He came to take your place with your sin debt. He came to remove that. And He gave Himself for the world. Penelope, it's not that bad. It's a good thing. It really is. And so then he continues to go on. In the beginning of chapter 2, he doesn't want us to neglect the salvation that we've been given. God has given us a gift by grace through faith. And he's saying, don't forget about it. In the beginning of chapter 2, he talks very strongly about, we may not realize it, this is what I was talking a little bit about, inviting all of this into your home. I'm not trying to preach against television. That's not my goal. Because we can act justified. I've seen it. I don't have a TV. Well, I got a smartphone, and I can watch anything I want on that, though. Come on. But really, what I'm trying to bring to the understanding of is that we invite this stuff oftentimes, and it starts to bog us down, and we don't even realize what chapter 2 beginning says. We start drifting. No, teenagers, we're not talking about, you know, taking your car and pulling the e-brake and drifting around corners. That's not kind of a good example, but not totally. Or giving her gas in the corners and start drifting, because you know what can happen. If you drift too far, you're going to go into banking. But it's like, sometimes it's kind of interesting when we go, say, jump in a lake, right? And we're on a floaty. Or we can be in a pool and on a floating. We think we're on one end of the pool. We close our eyes and we just enjoy that floating, that drifting. It carries us away. All of a sudden we open our eyes and we look and we're not even where we used to be. You sit there on a beach scene, right? You're down there at the beach and the waves are kind of rolling and you get your tubi out and you're laying on it and you're drifting. We do this at Lutty quite often. That's all I do out there. But anyways, you lay there and you drift in the water and the waves take you away. But if you're on a crowded beach in Florida, you could say, okay, there's my umbrella, there's my cooler, there's my blanket, I'm okay. And then all of a sudden you sleep for 5-10 minutes and you wake up and you look up and who took my umbrella? When you don't look to the Savior, we often can drift off paths. When we invite everything in and start taking that as the truth, we can often drift off the path. And that's all he's trying to warn us about. Chapter 2, he talks very much in the opening about be careful. Don't drift aside. Be intentional. Read your word. Pray. Go to Bible studies. Go to church. Be involved. And I'm not saying these things of themselves are the saving work. But what I'm saying is that when we are focused with Christ Jesus, we will not drift away. And it happens so slightly. You know, it's kind of like a kid when they're sitting there and they're starting to learn to ride a bicycle and they get on their little tricycle first and they start kicking their things and parents are nervous. Don't go too far down the driveway. Don't go near the road. Well, often the kids, if you look at them, they're looking down at the wheel because it's really cool when they're spinning it. Well, they don't realize they're heading right towards the road and mom and dad got to run down there and grab them. That's what the Lord does for us. He wants us to be focused on the gift of salvation that is before us, Christ Jesus. And so he talks very straightforward about this. And so then he leaves off basically just before our text saying, you know what? I am going to put my trust. I'm going to put my trust in him. He says, and look, I and the children are going to trust God. We're going to be strong in looking to him. There's a lot going on in your life. There's a lot going on in my life. I don't know if you realize it or not, because sometimes we get so caught up, but it's like, I have good intentions on Monday. I'm going to call so-and-so, and I'm going to get this done. You get in the office, and the phone is ringing, trying to figure out the new phone system, and then all of a sudden you realize you got to run to the hospital because somebody got put in the hospital up there. You may have had a plan to go see and so-and-so, but you end up getting tied up in another area. Life has a way of doing this to us, allowing us to drift, allowing us to get off track. These are good things that I'm talking about. But you don't realize by the time you think about it, it's already Wednesday. Wednesday. And now I got to prepare for Bible study. I got to get food cooked. I got to make sure that, you know, this and this and this is done for Sunday because I got sermon to do. I got Sunday school to teach and things like that. Life has a way of doing this. And sometimes we have to stop. Stop. Breathe. And focus on what's before us. And so that's really what he brings out. He says, I am going to really put my trust in him. I'm going to look to him. Yes, we have circumstances that arise, but we don't do it alone. Yes, there will be difficulties, but we don't do it alone. We do it in Christ Jesus, each and everything. And so basically now he gives us this understanding. Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. We don't have a distant God that doesn't understand us. He knows. I don't know what you're going through. I wish I could tell you I have more of a finger on the pulse of each and every one of you. But I don't. There's a saying, actually I brought it up last week very strongly to Pastor Scott's congregation. And I've said it a couple times here at the pulpit, the lectern, but it's so true. I encourage the congregation in Nagani, I want you to do something. You have a responsibility as a congregation. It's not just Scott. It's you also that have a responsibility. Talk to your pastor. Tell him what's going on. Share it with him. In other words, pastors can't read minds. Pastors don't know everything that's going on around them. And there's been times that pastors have been called on the carpet for not visiting somebody in the hospital. How do you visit somebody if you don't know? I luckily have some nurses that won't tell me anything, but sometimes I've gotten messages saying, you might want to check room 202. That's all they can say. You might want to check 202. And so communicate with your pastor was one of the strongest advices I could give to Nagani. And yes, Pastor Scott, you communicate with them too. But it doesn't change if you've been here for 12 years. And I'm not saying anybody's upset. I'm just saying this is the reality of it, that we need to be able to talk to each other. We need to be able to communicate. We need to understand each other to be able to help each other. Sometimes knowing struggles gives the ability for the Spirit to work, that we can preach to encourage you. And so he turns around and he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put all my trust in him. I'm going to understand what God has given me. And so now he turns around. He says, since therefore children share in flesh and blood. And this is a really interesting statement. Getting to our text, Paul is saying, we're all the same. We have a tendency, I think, as human beings, not to think that. You know, so-and-so is so much better than I am. So-and-so has so much more faith. So-and-so has this. Yes, there may be different gifts and abilities in the body. There's no doubt about it. But we are all human. We are all trying. We are all struggling. We are all victorious. There are parts of our lives that are a mess, and there are parts of our life that we are blessed in. Each and every one of us. And that's really what he's trying to say here. We're all on a level playing field. Doesn't matter if it's me, if it's you, if it's the most famous pop star of the year, or it's the greatest servant or the greatest military commander. We are all human beings. We all have our struggles. We all have our difficulties. We all have what we call this flesh. He says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, in other words, they're all the same product. He says, he himself likewise came and took on the same thing. What I really would love you to see is the love that God has for you. That he came and he took on what you're dealing with. Sometimes we forget that. We go to John 3:16 quite often, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What about the first two words of that? We always think about God gave his only begotten son. That's wonderful. It's beautiful. That is the key of salvation, right? He gave him for us. For God. God did this. God did this for you. For me. God did this for your arch enemy. God did this for your political adversary. God did this for each and every one of us. For God so loved you. He gave his own son, that whosoever believeth in him would have eternal life. It is the work of God imparted for each and every one of us, no matter who you are. Not all will receive. Not all will grasp. But it's equally given. This is first and foremost for Jesse to see, that we now understand and know that God has done this great work in behalf of the person in front of me. Not just for myself, but for you. And in this great work, by the Spirit of God, by the power of his word, if we can obtain it by grace through faith, wow. We could change the world. He says, so each and every one of us has the same thing, but Christ Jesus came and he partook that through the death he might destroy the one that has the power of death. We live in fear of death. You know, we truly often do. I shouldn't put statements in your mouth, but I would say a lot of humanity lives in fear of death. And really, I don't fear death so much. But I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I fear getting there. I know death in reality will bring me closer to God. In other words, to be absent from the world is to be present with God, right? We understand that basic logic. But is really anyone looking forward to going through that transition? Often when we think about it in the aspect of having a bad diagnosis and going through a brutal battle with that for a long time, and then slowly and miserably dying at the end. Well, I've even heard it said, well, there's pluses to that, and maybe there is. What is the plus? There's time to make retribution. There's time to bring forgiveness. There's time to talk about what's important. There's time to come to faith. There's a lot of different aspects. But the death of the Airbus, the ambulance, is that any easier? Within seconds, six lives were gone. No one got to say goodbye. Nobody got to say the last, I love you. You know, these things are difficult. There's no way around that. It is extremely difficult. He says, and death really does bring fear to people. But Christ Jesus came to break that. Why, as I said, and I stood here saying to you like some sort of cocky man, I'm not afraid of death. Because I know what eternity is. It is in peace with God through Christ Jesus. It is each and everything that I hope for, that I believe in the gospel, to be attained upon that last breath. It is no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain, no more struggle for the one that is called home. Unfortunately, for the ones that are left behind, that's when the crying starts, right? That's that reality. But that's the only reason that we can have this peace in dire circumstances. But it doesn't mean it's easy, because there's still the process. No matter if it's quick and tragic or if it's long and dragged out. But the reward is still the same. That's what we look to. Just like when we're doing anything, like if you're building a great tower, you know, if you start telling yourself you can't build this tower, you can't do this, I'm not going to be able to make it, you probably won't make it. But if you look at the prize at the end and you keep working, no matter what happens, 9 out of 10 times, you will make it. All the more in Christ. Keep your eyes upon Him through each and every struggle. Keep your eyes upon Him through the ups and downs of life, and you will come out a victor. Because He gives us that ability. So He speaks very strongly. He says He came to this earth. He took upon Himself that same flesh that you battle with each and every day. And He did it to destroy the power of death and the devil. And that's what Jesus did. He overcame hell, death, and the devil for each and every one of us. And we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. That's what the gospel says. Do you hear that? You're more than conquerors. Because you don't have to go back and refight the same battles. It is a victory for you. And so He says, and to deliver all those who through fear of death were actually subject to a lifelong history of slavery. He says, God has come to release this for you. You know, it's like if we're so afraid to do anything and we don't move, we'll never accomplish a thing. And yet, by the power of the Spirit of God, we can move through uncertain times, uncertain difficulties. We can do mission trips. We can serve in militaries. We can run for government positions. We can be pastors in churches. We can help on ambulance crews. How do we do all of this stuff in spite of our flesh? We do it by the power of the Spirit. If God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. This is where our focus is. This is where our focus is. It's amazing, even at the point where I've been, and I'll think about one lady, she was in her 90s, so it was a blessing because her life was pretty much confined to her bed. But when she was going home to glory, you could just see the excitement in her eyes, even though it was difficult, even though it was a struggle, and she would raise her hands to heaven and she was praising God in her bed. Because God gave her that vision of better things. We can endure these things through Christ Jesus. I don't know what tomorrow brings for you. I don't know if it's a quiz at school you are worried about. I don't know if it's a work project that you don't know how you're going to get done. I don't know if it's a budget crisis. I don't know if it's a spiritual battle. I don't know if it's unknown health concerns. But the one thing that I do know and believe as your pastor is that God will see you through. that he is your strength, he is your endurance. That's what we look to. You are forgiven children in Jesus' name and shed blood. This is what we need to understand. We are more than conquerors. And so I pray that we can hear this, that he came to defeat hell, death, and the devil for each and every one of us. And he says, for surely, he says, it's not the angels that he's helping. He's not speaking just to those heavenly beings. He's not just speaking to a certain class. He came for all of Abraham's descendants. And that's who we are. We sing it to our Sunday school kids, Father Abraham, many sons, and then we clap. Well, it's not just a cute story. The promise to Abraham is for each and every one of you, for me. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and him victorious over hell, death, and the devil. We don't need to fear this world. We don't need to fear disease. It will be there. But he is the answer. He is our strength. He says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. He went through the motions that we go through, but yet without sin. The first Adam failed. Ha-Adam, the last Adam, he did not fail. He was victorious for each and every one of us. We are victorious in him. And this is the message that the Christian church brings to this world. We are victorious because Christ Jesus gave it all. It's not just an Easter story. It's just not an Easter message. But his blood was shed for you and for me. And each and every drop was for the remission of our sins. We are free. Do we live in that freedom? Or do we live in fear? And so then he goes on to share with us very straightforward. He says, he was made to be like his brothers in every respect so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Tasted it, knew it, understood it, and did it. It wasn't like he was distant. He says, he became the propitiation for our sins. God says in one place in the scripture, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well satisfied. God is satisfied in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus paid for your debts. That's what propitiation means. He was the payment for our penalty. You don't need to pay for your sin. We need to look to Christ who paid for it all. Now in him, we will be new creatures. In him, we will live victoriously in this world. But he says, he became the propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are loved. You are loved by a God that understands you. You are loved by a God that knows each and everything that you are dealing with. I guess if I could say it in a very earthly fashion, be honest with him. Tell him, I'm struggling in this area. Help me. And he will be your strength. Our God is so good. It's time to proclaim that. It's time to preach that. Stop dealing with the fear aspect of religion and preach the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In him crucified, because in reality, there is nothing else. For God so loved you, he gave his son. Rejoice. If I would be Arvo, I'd say hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer, brother. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for the gift of